This is Joe McMillan, and I'm here at 707 Iowa interviewing one of my longtime friends, Willard Pinkston, better known as Iron Rails, who's been around the racetrack for so long and who has taught me so much and from whom I've learned so much. And we're going to have a nice interview with this man who is really a tribute to horse racing. Good afternoon, Willard. This is Joe McMillan, your friend. I'd like to get for you to give me your full name.
Willard Preston Pinkston.
And your nickname?
Iron Rail.
And where?
One of them.
What are some of the others that you have?
Kilroy.
Kilroy. I remember that one.
That was an old fellow's name during the war days when the army was going on, and I was the guy that was around everywhere, running everywhere, getting on horses, and I was rejected. I was put in full F class, and so I was still around. I was a gal boy with nothing wrong with me. I had a heart condition. I had a triple beat in my heart. I still got that. And but they never gave me trouble, but they put me in full F. So I could still, the reason why I didn't, wasn't in the army. And then they got to call me a Kilroy because I was getting on a lot of horses, and I just made myself, didn't take a job, I just go down, get on horses and get off of them and go. I got the job done. I rode him and done what I was required to do, and I go get on them. There's always somebody waiting for me.
All right.
I tell you something. About, you ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
I can't remember just exactly what year it was me and Irene got married. I can't recall what year it was. I have a bad remember on that, something like that.
But that's all right. Let me ask you where you were born.
I was born, I'm going to say, Richmond, Kentucky, but it really wasn't Richmond. But I'm going to say Richmond. I was born in the country. I was from Richmond.
All right. And then you remember your mother and father?
Yes. My father's name was Milo. Milo Moss Pinkston.
And your mother?
Her name was Ida Mae Lisbon.
All right. Pinkston. And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Oh, I had... let's see, two sisters and three brothers.
Were they older or were they younger than you?
Well, I'm next to the youngest. He was all older than me. I had one younger than me.
All right. And do you remember what your parents did for a living? Your
farming.
Mother?
They
farming?
Yeah, mother.
What kind of farming?
She does now. Oh, they raise crops and things like sharecropping, you know.
I see.
Like that.
Right.
Mother, she done... housework, you know, for white people, and she helped out in that respect, and that's probably died out of most of the things she did to raise us.
Do you remember any of the other brothers, sisters getting on the racetrack?
Oh yeah, I had my youngest brother, yeah.
What did he do?
He galloped for us.
He galloped for us?
Yeah, we started at the same time.
Yeah, where did you start?
Well, we started at a fella seen us one day riding some horses, work horses. And we were riding with no bridle out there in the field, you know. But we were riding pretty good because that, I always had, before I exactly remember, riding a horse and holding on mama's coat. Mama used to have a fur coat, and she'd go to church. That was saying she's going to go to church. And we had a bully, but a lot of times it would be two or three horses along, and so the rest of the kids would all get on the horse, two of them would get on the horse, you see. And so Mama would carry the baby, which was my youngest brother, carry him in her arm, with a side saddle she used to ride in.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get off behind her and folds of that coat. I can remember that as it happened just yesterday. And I didn't have no problem riding until the old horse would probably jog down the steep hill, you know. Nearly bounced me off. I didn't have no legs no way, you see. And I can remember that, so that kind of kept me riding horses. Then I can remember that I used to ride one of the horses. Well, if you had two horses, it was pretty gentle, we did. And so I could ride either one of them, but one of them was kind of a little mean and a little hasty, so I never fooled that one too much. But the other one, I could ride pretty easy. So my brother, he was older than I was. He's much older. He's about 6 years older than I was. He would put me on the gentleman, but he, and this gentleman would follow the other horse, and he'd be riding, because he's a bigger boy, he could ride. And so in order to get a leg for himself, he would start his horse off jogging, my horse would start jogging too. Well, I didn't know how to sit on my leg. I was just too little. I was around about 4 years old. And I was just too little to sit up on the horse jogging, because he bounced you off, you know.
Right.
And no sooner I'd fall off, oh man, that just
hit me up
there, you know. No sooner I fell off, oh, she'd stop. She'd stop, stand right there and wait. And he'd come back and throw me back up that one, you know. I'd get back up there crying and going off, because I didn't want to fall off no more, but I wanted to ride. I never did like to walk. So that's what started me to ride, learn how to stay on the horse.
So then, when did you get involved with race horses?
Well, I was doing that kind of riding, but we done got to be around about 9, 10 years old. I was about 10 years old.
All right.
And riding good. I could ride pretty good then, because I'd ride and carry that, my oldest brother, he had married, and he had a son about a year old, mm-hmm. year and a half old, 2 years old, maybe. And I'd take him with me on my horse and ride, but it's pretty hard to ride a horse bareback with one hand.
Right, and have somebody with you.
And you carry a baby in your arms. So we were riding up with no bridle, and we were racing to the gate. And we got it with our hand. We just did have sense enough to know what to do about it. Still, we got up there then. We pretty fast here, because I was 10 years old.
Was this still around Richmond?
No, this is over at Lexington.
In Lexington?
Yeah.
By this time, y'all had moved to Lexington?
Yeah, we done moved over to
right around Keeneland? Or at one of the farms?
Keeneland. Yeah. We was out there near, Boonesburg.
All right.
Near Boonesburg. We was about 3 miles from Boonesburg. And at a place called Athens, Kentucky.
All right.
And so a man come by one day. He lived down below us there, about a mile ahead. And I never forget, he was driving an Oldsmobile. That one of them old cars that had had the tires on the fenders, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember that car stopping out there looking at us, riding them horse, looking at us. And we thought it was somebody else that was going to come back and go tell Mom and we were riding them horses down there, you know. And of course, we was always doing stuff. We were riding horses, carrying hoes, and everything we could. And so so we hurried up to the, and rode them up through there and right quick and close we could get, and without opening the gate, and jumped off of them and headed on home, see, headed on up to, going on back to the house. And we were about a mile away from the house anyway. So this man, he went ahead on, then he happened to run across my oldest brother in this little town that they call Ethan one day. So he was talking to him about he seen us ride and wanted to know if he let, would they let us him us go to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had some horses and he wanted to start riding them, getting them training for the spring, spring races, and for the spring. So he told me, said, well, he didn't know, he said, we was his brother, but he'd tell Mama. So Mama's working. So he told Mama, but they hadn't told us nothing. He hadn't. And so then Mama told him, said, yes, that'd be good, keep us from getting hurt, since you're scared we're going to get hurt anyway. Because calves done throwed me anyway and bruised my leg, you know, I was crippled anyway. So then he come and told my oldest brother, I'll be out on Monday. And after he get out of school, and say, I'll make arrangements with the teacher, their mama said, the mother, let them go, let them come to work for me, and then after he get out, he'll come on to school. I'll let him out and let him go to school, you know. So they made the arrangements, so we did. We went to work for him.
What was his name?
Al Smitty.
Al Smitty.
Yeah.
So that was your first experience working for somebody with a racehorse.
The horse was green.
And what were you doing then? Did you break them?
Right on the end of riding, yeah.
Yeah. Exercising. Would these horses run at the tracks?
Yeah, they did run, yeah. And
he would run them where?
Oh, yeah, at Lexington.
Yeah. At Keeneland?
Yeah. Riverdale.
Yeah.
Latonia.
So that was the first experience.
Never went to Cuba with him.
Did you travel to Riverdale?
No, I didn't, because I was going to school.
See? Oh, you were going to school. How far did you go in school?
I went to school all my life, just about. I went to school, about the fourth grade at school. Now, what happened then, what shot me there, that we moved. See, we were farmers, you know.
Right.
So we moved further away from school where we at. Well then, black people couldn't go there on the school, you know that.
Right.
School was segregated. And school buses was running then, they started running. And it wasn't done for the black people. So we had, we could go to school as long as the weather was good.
As soon as the weather broke then.
Yeah, when the weather broke, snows, rains. Well, we couldn't go. And the shoes you could buy for $1, $1.50, good looking pair of shoes, but the water hit them and there was paper and they'd break like half in two.
So you guys stayed at home.
So we had to stay at home. Yeah. So we didn't get too much schooling. I'll go along with that. Never had too much schooling.
So when you went on the racetrack then with this man named Smitten?
Yeah, Smitty.
Smitty?
Yeah.
Then how long did you stay with him?
Off and on, I've worked for him off and on because, he would go to when racing, he'd go to Cuba every year.
I see.
So,
and what would you do during the time?
Well,
when
he would always give me to another fellow around there that had a lot of horses.
I see.
His name was Will Goodlow.
Goodlow.
Yeah, very wealthy fellow. And so, all he did, he didn't pay no attention to me about riding, not on the V, because he had a bunch of other boys rode there too. And so, Smitty, he wanted me to keep going because he liked the way that I rode. And so he said, keep him going because I like for you to keep them both going, but this other was so small, said I've never just turned him loose on a horse. But you see, they just put me on a horse and let me go. And they told me, whenever they wanted to, but he knows I'd get used to that, he's seen I know how to fall or keep from getting hurt too bad, something like that there. So then he had a little trust in me, but he'd always go along with the pony with my brother, see? And he was smaller. And so I worked for Goodlow there for 5, 6, maybe 10 years. And I worked for him all the summer while the Smith was gone. And then in the wintertime, I'd go back to Smitty, see?
I see.
And because he's right there at home, see? So he'd jog around that way until he got ready to go to Cuba. And when he went to Cuba, then I would be out of a job unless I went back to Goodlow, see?
You just sort of switched between Smitty and Goodlow. When did you start going on the track and making that just your total job?
Well, during that time.
All right.
That's beginning of it. Then, after then, Mama said, that I was making a pretty good salary with Goodlow. And so she said, she thought maybe it would be better if she would move in town in Lexington.
I see.
And the track was right in town then. And he wasn't back out that Keeneland. Keeneland wasn't even built yet. So she moved into town, right about half a block from the track. See, I could walk right over the track for less than 5 minutes. And we went to work for a fellow by the name of Grover Hughes, so he took me. So I was got my horse pretty good. And anytime I made a mistake.
About how old were you then when you went with Hughes?
I was around about 12 years old, I guess.
All right.
Something like that. And I was got my horse pretty good. And it was a couple of other fellows there, but they were old fellows. One was pretty old fellow, the other was kind of medium. I guess he's in his 30s. And then me, see. So they would show me how to get a whole tick hole to, you know, cross my reins and
right. All
of that, but they wasn't telling me how to stay on a horse. So, but I had done already learned that by riding them hogs and calves and things right. Like that, but I never did say nothing to nobody about it. Nobody asked me about it, so I never said nothing. And they thought I was just a good boy, you know, but I'd been doing that stuff, you see. And so, well, that happened all right, but doing it at the same time, he was the kind of horses that I run into that I got. I got the horse that I never thought was no count, don't pay much attention to her, and I never killed her. She ran up and fell backwards. I kind of halfway pulled her back. He ran straight up in there. Felix will ride straight up, and Colt won't. So she ran straight up, and she got overbalanced, and she just kind of dumped and tumbled backwards. Took a few steps back, her feet got tangled up, and she fell backwards, and it just missed me with her head. She'd probably kill me anyway, because she was going to hit me right in the chest with her head. Her head hit the ground pretty hard, and I could feel a jar, and it scared me a little bit, because it never happened to me. So the other boys tell me, say, oh, you pulled her right back, are you? But myself, I didn't pull her back. She just went back, you see. So
she fell back with you on her, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't get off her. See, I didn't know the skill of getting off of her, you see. So yeah, that worried me quite a bit. But they didn't put me back on her for a day or two. But I got along with her so good. And what I didn't know, she was a good mare. See, she's a good bred mare. I never get a name. Her name was Carnival Queen.
Carnival Queen.
Yeah. And she was just becoming a yearling, turning 2 years old. And I worked, and so she was always right on the lead all the time, you know. So I never get to work with Fred. When you get to work with Fred, well, then you get the job and put on, you know, after coming spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I never got to know much about it, didn't think much about it. But come to find out, so they shifted on her on the way and left the rest of them all there. And but come to find out, they sent her away to run in the stakes. So I never did see her no more. But I learned about her later on.
Did she win stakes?
Yeah. She's stake winning. And that was the first good horse that I was around. And then, that same man, he came up with another horse. He was by... this horse was by a horse by the name of Sweep. And so they named this horse Bobby Sweep. Mm-hmm. He's a good looking horse. Oh, he's a pretty horse. I love him.
Yeah.
And he got a force and went on, but...
Sweep was a handicapper himself, though.
Yeah, he was a stakehorse. And he looked good, but he wasn't as good a horse as that filly was. But he went a stake or two, Water Sweet did. And then that was the second horse I was around.
Mm-hmm.
And that I fooled with actually myself. Nobody fooled with him much. You know what I mean? I got off and hold some out of that. And when they went away to the races, but then Mama never let me go away, you know, too far, why that she couldn't, you know, keep up with me. That's what she's always afraid of. But she had a brother that and so he went to New Orleans the first time he'd been away, and he was working for the Howard Oates. And he went down to New Orleans, and he was down there about 3 weeks or a month, and he got pneumonia and died just all at once, you know. So she never was particular about
having her sons get on the racetrack.
Yeah.
She had a kind of a fear of y'all leaving home.
Mm-hmm.
And you were real young then, too, right?
Yeah.
About how old were you then?
About 2 years, something like that. Yeah, I must have been around about 13.
Right.
Well, I got to be 14 years old. Well, I was gallop horse with a fellow that you know, this boy. He was, well, I call him a boy, but he's young as I was. Well, he's a little older than I was, but he was around. He was young, too, but he galloped horses, and he'd done rode a few races and everything. A boy I saw was Prairie Smith. You know Prairie Smith?
I know him very well.
Well, Prairie, me and Prairie worked together with this good little one I'm talking about that I started with.
I see.
So me and him got to be buddies. Prairie's a big fat fella, I bet you know him.
Right.
But he's a little skinny boy. That's what I'm going to say. But anyway, but me and him would wait until everybody left the barn, just about. Because some other guys, they would go in the room, lay down, go to sleep, some of them, and some of them would go on out in town. You know, when they do, just walk out the gate when you're not in town. But anyway, what we'd do, we'd sneak back out when the foreman would go home, and we would go back in and take us a shank, a rope shank, and snap on them mules, and then we'd jump on and ride them in the stall. See, I've been doing it all the time, see.
So you learned to break them. You learned to break horses real early then,
Yeah. It was fun to be in here. And
Perry would break them out also?
Yeah, Perry's good at that boy. Yeah, mm-hmm. One of the best, yeah. And Perry's good all around, man. Good all strength, Perry, yeah. And see, he proves himself. Because everything he's done good at it. And one thing that I always did was ride. And I could ride. And as I got older, I got good. Really good. Well, I got good at is getting horses that maybe not only boys, but the trainers might have, see. Boys don't ruin all horses, trainers ruin it.
Right.
My owners or something like that, like me. That they don't let you do what you can with a horse, and they spoil them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like you here, don't hurt you, don't do this here, all right. So if the horse is a boss, well, then he ain't gonna never do it right. You know, only when he wants to. And so I found that out, you know, by me and Perry just sneaking and riding them horses. And we'd always ride our horses. And mm-hmm. we had something like about 30 or 40 yearlings we would. And then we had about, I think we had 9 boys with galloping horses. We'd have a big set of horses on track. Yearlings. They were running all over the racetrack. Some of them were running there which way. And you knew a lot of them guys was galloping horses there during the time being. They was boys too, but some of them made good, and most of them didn't, and that's the way it come along. But it was a lot of good horses in that bunch. I know I never galloped, can't remember. I did gallop them, but I didn't break them. There was a horse come out of that bunch, well, one that, out of that stable one time, a horse was called Mischief Joe. He's a stake winner. That mare, Sylvan Heaven, she's a stake winner. I galloped to her and when she was green, I galloped to her when she got good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember all of them.
Were you still working for Hughes then, too?
No, I was working for Goodloe.
For Goodloe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, I had done quit, though. You were talking about Smitty, me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Hughes, no. Oh, Hughes, I think that he, well, out of the business, I can't remember now. Oh, he died. One of the kids.
I see.
Roe Hughes. That's who his name was. But I think he might have died something because he quit off proud at once. I don't remember when he died or what happened. Because it, let's see, now during that time, let me see now, what else did I do? I went to, then, wasn't long after that, they built Keeneland. And, so everybody went to, going to Keeneland, and they put them all out just like they put them out of Miles Park down here, you know.
Right.
And everybody had to go to Keeneland, and then at the old track, well, that's what they had to do there because they tore it down, and put those partners while they having that disturbance up there right now. That's why the track was there.
Right.
Yeah, at Ashmondale up there.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's the racetrack.
That's where the old track
that
was.
That was the track. That was actually the track, Ashmondale is. Track in the grandstand, that's what that is right now.
Did they call that Keeneland too? What they call that track?
Nothing, just call it the Old Lexington Racetrack.
Old Lexington Racetrack, mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all it was, Old Lexington mm-hmm. Racetrack. See, they used to, didn't train so much on the track in the olden days.
They trained on the farm?
No, they trained up and down the streets out there.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they did. See, it wasn't concrete,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't rock, it was dirt.
So it was, they could just...
Yeah. And so they galloped.
Exercise right there on
the
street.
Yeah, you galloped all the way to Main Street if you wanted to. You gallop all the way to Paris if you wanted to. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's what they did. And I hear the boys talk about it. They would get the reins, they'd wrap them around their hand.
Right.
And that's one of the most dangerous things in the world. You do because you a horse so you well, you can't get loose from it, you know?
Right.
He's going to drag you, yeah, going to kill you too. A lot of boys got hurt like that.
Your first experience then on the track was riding,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, that's most of the thing I ever
did. Is that all you did?
Yeah.
But you could do other things. But
I'm a trained horse. Yeah. I'm trained horse. Most of this, a lot of them horses that was running around there winning and going on.
Right.
Now this is in my later years, after I come to Louisville here. See, I trained a lot of horses.
Well, I'm sure.
But my name wasn't down as trainer.
I see.
Now, I had a reason for that at first. And then after it got to going pretty big, but then I didn't want it to be down as a trainer. That's really why I never was trained. Mm-hmm. I never even applied for license, only one time. And then they told me to come back, and I said, well, I don't need this anyway, because this is going to kill my tax, you know, because I'm raise my tax bragging.
Right.
I said, now then they probably going to trap me because otherwise when I was galloping like I was doing, well then I would, I could deduct a lot of that tax because I wasn't drawing a salary, see? I was just getting paid. I might gallop my horse here today and I might not come back no more for another week. So otherwise I might make, say, $10 this week and it might be a month maybe before I'd go back or get any more money from that same person. So you couldn't really keep up with that yet. So I didn't do too good, but that's the thing about it, as far as money-wise. I didn't make enough to get rich, say that, Dad. And but I did pay taxes, they gave me a tax thing, and they took out tax thing when time came, well, they gave me a statement, and I'd take it and file. I never did try to dodge anything like that, because most of the time, I would always have something coming back, see? Because right. I never did do that much for it.
Did you ever want to be a jockey?
I didn't look much different because you ride in the morning. See, my biggest thing when I ride my horses is getting them horses, tough horses. Everybody couldn't nobody hand him. He's this year, he's done this year, he's done that thing. That's what I like.
You like to straighten them out.
Yeah, just go ahead on. Y'all go ahead on, leave me at it. And let everybody get completely away from me altogether.
Is that why they called you Iron Rails?
Just let me ask, huh?
Is that why they called you Iron Rails?
No, they called me Iron Rails because they could think of the horse's name, couldn't think of my name.
I see.
Yeah.
Who gave you that name?
It was a horse with that name.
Oh, it was a horse name, Iron
Rails. Yeah, Darren Ford had it.
Is that right?
Yeah, he got...
He won the Derby down there.
Yeah, he wins Miles Park Derby.
Oh, he won the Miles Park Derby.
Yeah, but not only that, he wins more than that. He wins a lot of states, two or three states. He did. He wins New York.
Who trained him, will it?
Reese.
Stanley?
Yeah.
Stanley Reese.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were working for Stanley at that time?
Yeah. Oh, I broke him.
Yeah. You broke Iron Rail.
Yeah.
Was he a tough one to break?
That's the reason why I broke it. They wouldn't have got him broke.
He would never have been broke.
I'll make that statement.
Yeah.
And I'll say it again. They would not have got him broke.
But once he got broke, was he all right then? I mean,
no.
He was still a rough one.
Yeah. See, now, I broke him by myself.
That's terrible.
Bob Taylor rubbed that horse.
Yeah.
But... I I told him, see, old man Reese was a little better to get along with than Stanley. And I told him, I said, just let me have him and I'll take care of him. And not groom him and everything, but I mean, like getting on him and riding him and handling him myself, and he wouldn't be quite as nervous, see. And then I'd get on him, man, he'd go into his act and everything like that there, but I'd be hanging on him in that stall line. So he couldn't get rid of me in the stall. Well, then he found out that that wouldn't do him no good, and he'd quit that, see. Then when he got so he'd stop trying to get me off of him, then I'd ride him out in the shed myself. Don't nobody bring him out, let me walk him out. I'd bring him on out in the shed. And then I'd jog him around the shed. He got so that was all right. But you put somebody else on him, he'd throw a fit. Yeah. So that's what kind of horse he was. And they started to rule him off. But he was a horse could run. And anytime you, it's anything you're doing on him, just move your hand least bit on him to make him notice you. Now, as long as you're up there and you didn't do nothing to make him think about you being up on him, he was all right. But now hear what he did. He'd be running along to work one day, Santa said. Well, I didn't go to Florida once. And he had a boy called Lane Tinker. So he put Lane on him, so Lane figured he could ride him. And he was. He's doing pretty good with him. And so they worked him. And evidently Lane moved his hand on him. And he happened to think, well, shucks, I can duck. And that horse ducked, and he ducked and wheeled right around him. Two other horses were working behind him. He wheeled, come right back towards him, and hit them both. And I don't think they destroyed either one of the horses, but he crippled one of the boys pretty bad. He was in pretty bad shape. Broke them both down, and it didn't hurt him. So they told Stanley they were going to rule him off. Stanley said, I was working. That was the reason why I was working, because I'm running. They said, don't
on that side. Okay, you can go on with the about Stanley or whatever you want to say.
Okay,
about.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Well, Stanley, he went on and so they told him okay. The stewards told him okay, they're going to give me a chance and to run it. They run it. So he run and he win. And that's what started. He went in and he kept on with it. He wound up being a good horse. So, and so everybody was pretty happy about the horse. The man that I want to talk about, he had a horse that the horse had been turned over two or three different times, but and he wasn't the type of horse that everybody couldn't gallop. Most of the boys could gallop him, but he's an awfully strong horse, definitely strong, and he wasn't say a good horse. He was cut out to be a good horse, but he broke down early. He bowled. That boy had him, broke him, got him, broke him, and he was good then, and he could run fast. I was called Max Best. The boy died here a couple of years ago.
Max Best.
Little man.
Sudie.
Sudie had him when he broke down, and he told me how fast he was. He told me how fast he was. He was 34 early, like in March, something like that. That horse was, and so I was just awful fast. I thought he was. So
that's three eighths of a mile.
Yeah, 34 and something. You know, that's awful.
That's going pretty fast.
Just I ran into all the room. Well, anyway, it was Max Best was the horse that. This fellow Ed Davis gave me the big talk about it, and I don't know whether it was in the forum or in the paper, but anyway, somebody gave me I don't even remember getting it. A little block in the paper in the forum, or I guess it's about 4 inches long, and about me. What he said about me, he said he thought I was a good exercise boy and just a good boy around horse and fury. So I believe I could say that what I liked about it made me feel good, proud of him. This is Ed Davis I'm talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Willard, I think it's one of the greatest boys I've ever seen. Now, while he said that, I think what he meant, that old horse, I've seen that horse twice, and the phone broke down now. He broke down. I took him to the farm, out to Branch Farm out here at Fresnel, at one time, and glycerine him up, and he had put the glycerine on him. Had been put it on him. I put it on him, but he got stuff he wanted on it. And anyway, I took my same doctor up, got it together, and then I brought him on into the Churchill Downs, galloping. That's a trick in training horses, if you gallop them. Because you can't stand on the ground and tell a boy what to do, because most boys ain't going to tell you the truth no way. There's three of them out there will tell you the truth when they get off the horse. So, I brought him in, and I galloped him a couple of times. I tell you now, but I'm not fooling the horses, number one, don't intend to. And I'll tell them my secret. See, can they do it? What I do. I always, when I got a horse and I'm doing it myself, training myself, say, well, you do what you can, get it together. And I generally always get a horse up to 5/8 of a mile and let him run 5/8 of a mile. If I can get him up 5/8 of a mile around two, and the condition Churchill Downs used to be in, of course they tell me they done more to it now, you know, condition and everything else made it faster track. But I'm talking about Churchill Downs. I'd get him up to two, then I'd walk him 2 or 3 days until he got sharp again. It wouldn't take long. And he got to feel good again, and I'd take him out there and snap him, sharp 3/8 of a mile. Let him go around about 36 seconds. If he go 35, let him go 35. Just don't be whooping and driving. Just cluck to him, make him a hustle. Make him get tired. That's what you want to do. Make him get tired and blow. And then take him in until he catch him. You know, beat him, either one, because you ain't outrun him, because he's got that still 5/8 mile in him. Unless you're going to run him a mile, 8 miles, 60, over a mile. Unless you're going to run him over a mile, but he will go a mile off 5/8 a mile. So I've done that, and so Ed sent for him. He wanted me to send him down there, so he never even asked me what I had done with him. So he, I told him, well, they galloped me the thing, and he said, you worked him? I told him, yeah, I worked him. So, but he never, that's all he ever said. So he took him on down and he run and he win. I forgot what he paid, but he come back and he was looking at me. And he didn't owe me anything because he paid me when he come and got the horse. And he come back and handed me $100 bill. And he told me that was all right. And I think that I done that again with him. I tell you what it was, when it done, he beat some horses that I think he might overrun his stuff that day. I was galloping him. And McDonald got him. Captain McDonald?
Yeah, I know Captain McDonald.
And Captain strictly a galloper. He was galloping a mile and a quarter every day. And this horse is a strong horse. It's just like trying to hold a case tractor, you know what I mean? And so it was just way out. But I could gallop him and make it look easy. It wasn't easy, but I could make it look easy because I wouldn't have him all cramped up, you know. And so I could gallop him. So that's what happened. I galloped him that way. And then the last 3/8 of a mile, well, I just kind of let him loosen up on it, kind of let him gallop it on out, because he only galloped him 7/8 of a mile on that pool. Then I just turned him loose, let him go on and gallop out the last quarter of a mile, or maybe 5/6 of a mile. I knew I'd let him go 3/8 of a mile over gallop. And so he wound up winning. It was near Derby day. It was before the Derby. And he went and beat the Derby horse. It was the only for the Derby. It was
Who was the horse?
Max Best.
Max Best.
Yeah.
Same one.
Yeah. And me and Smoke, I didn't want to bet on him because one of the horses he beat, I was galloping him too. And he could run. And because he got a shoemaker to come and get on him to work him, and I worked another colt with him that didn't even belong with him, and I could outrun him with this colt I had, because he had a little speed, and they went on to meet me because we was going 3/4 of a mile,
Mm-hmm. And so it was Bill Shoemaker and Jimmy Nichols. And they both was on Derby horses, see? And old Max Beth beat
both of them.
Yeah,
right?
He beat both of them. Paid $77. We sitting out here at the Hickory Lake fishing, me and Smoke. Had the radio on. And I had my grandson with me, Noah. And when the race come up and I heard the race, and Smoke said, uh-oh, said, old Max Beth win. And I said, no, it didn't. So then they was giving the results. And I said, listen, Mr. Drunk, he paid $77 again.
My man.
Yeah.
Well, you did it two times with Max.
But I don't bet neither time, you see.
Yeah.
And that's what the guys when I raced that would get on me about. Man, you ain't gonna bet on no hall. You ain't gonna bet on no hall. Well, I didn't, but I made money. So that's the way it goes. But
well,
I didn't.
Could you tell me a little bit about the people you work for?
How good are they? How bad are they?
Yeah, the good. Yeah, I remember when I first knew you. I knew you through old man Loudon.
Yeah, well, I'll start with him, Your Honor. Loudon's a good fella to work for. Good. He didn't bother you by nothing. If you were, he
well, that was Henry Loudon.
Yeah, really. Henry Loudon. Yeah.
Now his brother. He had a brother that was a trainer too. Didn't
yeah.
He?
Well, he's still better. He didn't bother you about nothing. Loudon, he's a dealer, but Loudon, he plays with you a whole lot, and that would spoil some guys, you know, because he'd sit around and talk with you, joke with you, going. Loudon didn't drink or anything like that. And then if you didn't do your work, something like that, he might tell you, well, why don't you want to do your work, or what are you off late getting in here, or something like that, there, he might say that to you. But he never had to say that to me, because I stayed at the barn all the time. I never was the type of guy when I worked for him.
Was he the first black trainer you worked for?
No. I worked with John Childress.
Is that right?
I was the man that trained horses for Goodloe.
Okay. John Childress trained for Goodloe.
Childress, yeah. Yeah, he's the only other trainer. He owned horses. And, let's see, he was the first black man. I mean, John Childress, yeah.
And then Loudon was
the second one.
Was the second one.
Yeah.
Right. That was way back in, when I first knew you, was way back in the 40s.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 43.
Right. Did Loudon have some pretty good horses?
Had some good horses. He had a horse that I still say that's about the best horse I ever galloped. He did. He trained him.
Who was he?
A horse called Seals Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
He win the stake or two, but he broke down early.
Mm-hmm.
I remember as well, he was running in the Willows at
New York.
In New York, I can't call the name of the track now.
Probably Aqueduct, huh?
No, it was
Belmont?
No. Wait a minute, I can't. It wasn't right in New York either. It's in Jersey. You know what you call
Monmouth?
It?
Monmouth or Garden State?
Neither one of them. Malmouth. No. I can't call the name of it now. But anyway, we run in that thing. It's for 2 year olds. And I think it was 6 and a half or something like that for 2 year olds in the summertime. And I even run Iron Rail that same race. Some years later. And what happened? Seals Jimmy run in, came in, had a horse in that, they called, I think it was Contradiction. I think that was that horse. It was Contradiction. And Ease is on Seal Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
So Seal Jimmy went over the horse. He run anyway. You
wanted window leads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seal Jimmy, M.M. Gonzalez was on Seal Jimmy. Seal Jimmy would run. Ease was on Seal Jimmy. First time he ever went. Gonzalez, I don't know whether he sat down or got hurried or whatever happened to him. Something happened to him. He didn't rode him all the time. And he wasn't on him. but well, wasn't even mad. And but anyway, he run still Jimmy. He was he'd get after him. He'd run. He run with his head down low to the ground anyway. And he run up. He in the attempt to go around a horse, turn in the head of the stretch, and this horse of Calumet. I don't know what his name was now. I don't forgot his name that quick.
Contradiction.
But, yeah, Contradiction. Oh. He come out to go around the same holes.
Mm-hmm.
And Steel Jimmy was behind him, and they clipped. Steel Jimmy run right into, almost hit him, run into the back end of him. And he clipped Steel Jimmy on the, between the ankle and the hoop, and chipped the sesamoid. Just knocked the chip out of it. And so he wound up went on to finish fourth anyway. And he's a pistol was in that race. Oh no, wasn't he's a pistol, was it? No, I'm thinking about Iron Rail. There was another horse in there that I was galloping was in there. I forgot who it was now. And so he wound up he was on the lead when that happened, but he wound up finishing second, the horse wasn't. Old Seal Jimmy can run over all of them if he don't get in that trouble. That's right. What he's gonna do, yeah. But Al Sal was, he was the horse of the year that year. So Al Sal beat him. But he could, the way he run, that he gonna beat Al Sal, all he needed was a little distance. But they wasn't going that far at the time being. That's why Al Sal beat him. But he broke down in that race there. So I give Seal Jimmy the best horse that I ever galloped. I'm going to say that without
Gallup. That was Henry Loudon training,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were there other good black trainers around at that time, or just a few?
It was a few. It might have been quite a few around New York.
Mm-hmm. But not around
I don't say there was good trainers, because I can't remember none having a...
What about black jockeys in those days? Were there many?
Yeah, no. Just about a little better than this now, imagine. But it was, you'd see one or two every now and then. But there wouldn't be no two at the same track, no time.
Yeah.
Be one riding here and one riding somewhere there. And I remember a boy.
What do you think was the reason for them not having black jockeys? That
well, it's just I had money.
It was money.
Money, yeah. Yeah, man. I feel late, man. Well, shuck, man. You take an innocent old boy if he's white, he can ride, you know. But he can ride or not, they're going to give him a chance to ride. I've seen so many races blowed, man, by not having a ride on the horse. It ought to be a shame for something like that there. And here's a horse, he run his horn out and everything, and then a boy, he just sit up on there and just let him get at the beat, but just not even looking back, you know.
Yeah.
Just sit there.
So it was just discrimination then.
Yeah, that's more
black, the black jockeys. Yeah. Wasn't because they were so big or anything, because there were some small blacks too, wasn't it?
Oh man, when I come around, you know it was. I'm not going to say that there, but it was just a lot of black boys, black men. They done got to be old men, some of them were. And they were still weighing something like 115 pounds at the highest.
Right. Much better riders then, right?
Yeah. They were old riders. They right, could do everything.
But they didn't want to get them up there because of discrimination.
They didn't ride. No, indeed. Yeah. I can tell you, I can sit here and call you off. Just stop studying a little bit. I guess I can call the rest of the evening. A lot of guys that I know of that was lined up to ride. Yeah. Old guys.
Who's the best exercise boy you knew?
That's a hard job. Exercise boy?
Yeah.
Me?
What do you say? You put yourself there.
I know him.
Right?
Yeah,
I'd put you there too, Willard, because I saw you so many times, you know. And I know there weren't any better breaking horses than you. I don't know anybody that could break a horse better than you.
Come down to galloping a horse, I've settled down so many horses. Just a kiss with a horse was very nervous. And, she wouldn't have been the horse that she was if it don't be for me settling her down.
You settle her down the same way you settle the rest of them, right?
I can settle my horses just like I settle my women.
Is that right, Irene? He said, now he's getting ridiculous.
Hey, look, she ain't the only one. Now, Jessica ain't the only one. I can remember another like, call said, she got so she wouldn't break from the gate. She break, but she ran before she come out of that gate. And I could take her and go to the gate, never touch the rain, never. And she'd type while she'd run off with him. Try to. And she would. She could, if she could handle it. But she wasn't the toughest officer in the world. Anybody probably get off her. But, you know, fighting was going on, you know. But I could get off her, and she'd never touch the rain. Got like
yeah,
a
right. Yeah.
That's a horse called Kootenai. Or Kootenai. He's the one they call, we used to call Kootenai. By the name of Kootenai, that's a river somewhere, upstate somewhere, I don't know why it's that now. That's the Kootenai River. I used to get off her, but you know how I stopped her.
Who was her trainer?
Racer Stanley.
Stanley.
Yeah.
So you did a lot of work with Stanley too then, right?
I mean, yeah, all the bad horses. And Stanley wouldn't have nothing but bad exercise boys.
Was that the racer that Pootsie worked for?
Yeah.
But Pootsie's exercise boy too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Bad.
I know. But you couldn't tell him that though, could you?
No.
That's Mr. Reason's family. Daddy used to keep all his badges out in the hill.
Oh, that's Federal Hill. He won the Derby trial, right?
Yeah, he didn't only win the Derby trial. Federal Hill won a lot of races.
Yeah.
Let's see, when did he win?
That was the year that Iron Leeds won the Derby.
Yeah.
At the Federal Hill. And
yeah,
that was
Well, Federal, he was booed when he run in the Derby.
Was he?
Yeah.
But he went to the front, though.
Oh,
he was in front.
When he broke down, he run in the front. When he broke down, he don't leave for 4 minutes. He broke down, half mile post and pulled up.
So you exercised him then, right?
Yeah.
Did you break Federal Hill, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you some more questions. What about going on the track? I noticed you different from a lot of the people I knew around the racetrack. You stayed mostly around here in Louisville. You got married and you didn't travel that much, did you? Did you ever travel?
I never went to win a race. I'll tell you why. Because it's more segregated in the South than it was while I was here.
I see.
I'm kind of a little jumpy about that segregation stuff, you know. I never like to go where than I know that I want.
I see. You go to New York though, wouldn't you?
I've been to New York a long time.
Yeah.
That's why you
didn't like to go to Florida and fairgrounds and New Orleans and those places.
No.
Too much segregation.
Yeah. Left it went, but
did you ever go with them in the summer to Chicago and places?
Oh yeah. Having my home.
Chicago was like home, man. When they leave here to go to Chicago, you'll be right there, right?
Yeah.
Did old man Loudon go to travel a lot?
Yeah, he went to Chicago, New York.
Yeah.
We used to go to New York all the time. Me and him did. And then we'd go to Chicago just about the same way. And recently them done the same thing. So there was nowhere else to go. I could have went to California. I wouldn't go because they wanted me.
What were the living conditions around when you go like to Chicago?
Uh-huh.
Where would you stay? Would you stay on the track?
Yeah. So, well, I like to stay on the track because I didn't have to worry about, going to work.
I see.
And, of course, when you go places like that, you're way away from the track.
Oh, yes.
And then you got
so
to
you
drive
stay the right car. There in the tack room?
I stay right there. And when Irene went back, she cost me a lot of money, a lot of headache, you know. Getting back so far to the track, it worried me all the time. I'd get a man 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
To get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how was the living conditions around the track then?
It was all right.
Or it was good enough to live.
Had the old tack room. They had the shower right out from the barn there. They'd have picture shows or whatever. They'd play games, they'd pitch horseshoes, play ball. And
so it was okay. The living, it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
You could get along all right.
Yeah,
recreation.
You go out there fighting them drunks and things, if you wanted to, but I never would go out there with them, you know.
What about eating around the track, the kitchen?
Well, the kitchen was pretty good. They had pretty good food. And, Nobody complained because the store right up there. You go to the store, restaurant, and all that there, McDonald's, all them kind of places around up there.
How long did you work on the track, Willard?
Well, I started.
When you were about 12?
Yeah, about 10 years old. I guess I worked on the track, let's see, when was that? I'd say about 32 up until
86. When you got
sick. Until 86. That's that right? That's about 50 years, right?
I guess so, man. but you know what?
That's a long time, half of a century.
But you know what? And don't you know, during that time, just about, and I ain't gonna say every year, but you know, I either broke a good horse or I was around a good horse, learning, teaching it. And I was teaching the dark. See, a lot of them horses that them guys would get, they was already ready to run when they got them.
You think you got paid enough for the kind of work you did?
No, indeed.
Yeah.
And I've had, I ain't gonna call
it. Why is that, you know? That,
well, now wait a minute, let me say this here, I don't know. Look, listen to this. Of course, I'm an easy kind of going guy, otherwise I'd quit. And then I wouldn't have the name, wouldn't have the purity about myself. I just feel good about myself for doing it. I had a fellow tell me, I worked for him, and he just wouldn't take nothing from me. He was lost without me, and I ain't gonna call no name because the fellow's still around, and I don't want to call him hard feelings between him. But he told me, he said, was that Willis, said, I know you're worth more than I'm giving you. And look, he had the money to do it. And he was winning races going in Kirkman. Not only just racing, but stake races, handicaps, and all that kind of stuff. And he said, but I cannot give you any more money. I just can't give you no more money. And look, I wasn't getting top price. I was getting paid just like the rest of the other guys. They'd walk around there, get on two or three horses, three or four horses, and they'd sue. And I'd have some 8 horses to get on. That one was a good horse. See, I had the bad horses. Them guys that get
they
horses,
couldn't handle.
They couldn't handle them.
Right.
Then I'd have to get on them, two or three of them. And then I had my own horses to get on, them other horses to get on, because they don't want to get on no more horses. All that kind of stuff.
But,
you know.
But he didn't pay you what you was worth. Then.
No.
You think a lot of that had to do with prejudice and discrimination,
that's exactly
what it was. Straight prejudice, right?
That's right.
And what do you think about the situation with blacks organizing? Did you ever see blacks on the track try to get together to organize so they could try to get better pay? How were people paid? They paid according to what the trainer would pay them?
No, he wasn't with half of it. And this way I can put you on that tag. Guys come around, and I know some black dudes that do it. They'll do anything to get a job. They don't know much about horses. See what I'm talking about?
Right.
And they want a job because I'm working with horses. They figure they can gamble. Well, they do. Right there, they shoot craps, and they gamble on horses. It's a gamble all the way. So it's money to be made if you could that lucky, but you ain't going to be that lucky.
Right.
And that's what makes some guys come on the racetrack, and while they work on the racetrack, they die to get on the racetrack because that money can be sure. Now, to show you, one, to be just right about it, Bambino was a good horse rubber, but he really didn't want to rub horses. He wanted to be around the gavel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he took for it. He wouldn't, if you ever noticed, Bam didn't work for nobody too long.
But he was an excellent groom, though.
Yeah, he's a good groom.
Yeah.
Because that was the way, only way that he could get in where the money was at was being gambled. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
So he used the groom.
Used his skill. If he's good, well then any trainer would hire him. You know, they'd always sack anybody. Take a guy like, I don't know nobody you know of, but a guy that they couldn't put on bandages, couldn't braid a horse's tail or mane or something like that there, or what have you, you know, don't know what's wrong, or something wrong with the horse, he couldn't tell it, something like that there. So, well then they'll get rid of him to take a guy like Bam, here's a horse, yeah, this man's crazy about this horse, yeah, so it might be all right, I don't know what about it. But yeah, you take care of it. Man, you walk horse, you know, I don't need you, you know, mm-hmm. You do it all.
I see.
But Bam worked. Yeah. Bama had me looking like a brand new dime.
Man. I know. He was a good one. Excellent. My best friend.
Bama was more of a bull, you know, than he was real. That's the only thing I didn't like about him. That's the only thing I didn't like about him. I couldn't tell him nothing. He's the type of guy who can't tell nothing.
Oh, no.
But
he kept his horses just as neat as he kept himself.
He's a neat wrestler. And he'd throw away and give away. I said, man, them guys ain't going to give you nothing.
And he had a big heart. He'd give you anything.
Anything, and he'd get mad. Well, man, I'm get broke. You ain't never been around in a party like I have. But man, I'm get broke. He wouldn't have coffee money. He could spend and get sick for a day. Couldn't get out. Man, when the guy come by to give him off him a cup of coffee, or bring him a hamburger, or sausage sandwich or something, wouldn't none of them come by, man.
Bam was a...
And I'd go by the Bam. I said, you had something? No, I ain't had nothing yet. You can go to the kitchen? No, I don't think I'll go. I might get up after a while and go. I said, what about eating? You ever eat anything today? No, I ain't eating nothing yet. I said, well, I'll bring you back. And when you want me to bring you back? Oh, well, I don't know. Whatever you want to, something like that there. And I'd treat that dude and get him back on the street, man. He'd get money and stuff, man. He'd walk, get his friends, man. Oh, boy, you know.
Smoke became a trainer, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's pretty good at the end.
Smoke's a good trainer. Smoke's a good trainer because he would listen.
Yeah.
Smoke would listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Smoke believed me. Whatever I told Smoke, he'd do it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd try to do it. And that's the reason why me and him got along so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who were some of the other good people around the horses, grooms and trainers?
I can name a whole lot of good grooms. And they ain't a better groom around anywhere than them guys that hung around Tom Malone.
Is that right?
Yeah. Now any of them boys that hung around Tom Malone, he had the talent to make them do his work. And he let them, they wanted to do it because they fooled horses.
Uh-huh.
He'd have them out there pulling them horses' reins, grooming them, doing them up, making them look like they were show horses, and all that kind of stuff. He even got the boy that you might have known, I can't call his name. I think his name was Joe. I think that was his name. I know his name. Because he moved over here in Indiana. Some white boy in a little farm over there. He took our picture one night down to Nice and Warren when that was going on down there. I can't get the name of that joint when we were there.
All right, boss.
Huh?
Arkansas?
Yeah. We was in the Arkansas one night. You know, a guy coming out, his name was Joe, had gold teeth in front here.
He was on the track though, right?
Yeah, he come on the track, And he's a good groom. A particular good groom, but you know what he's doing? He went to farm. See, I think he's out of Alabama anyway. His parents were, running up here where they live. But he's a farmer, and he bought him a little farm over there. He's a good groom, but Chico.
I know Chico. Yeah,
Chico was one of about as good as they come.
Yeah. What did the strength, was there a set price for exercising horses in those days? And did the exercise
yeah,
boy
yeah,
make
but
more
it's
than
a lot
the
of
groom?
Under the table money.
Oh, it was under table money.
A lot of it was.
It varied from trainer to trainer.
Yeah.
Some trainers paid more for exercising than others, or how'd
yeah,
that
yeah,
go?
See, some boys ain't worth it. Ain't worth the money that they get. See, that's the thing about it. Now, you take guys there, there's two facts. I'm not only picking on Pooch. Pooch ain't the only one, but it's the one guy that you know. But Pooch ain't wasn't worth what he'd get, what they had to pay him. See, that is a limit you got to pay.
Right.
So, he'd get full price that them other boys was getting, and then he couldn't do what they could do. He wasn't capable of doing it.
Yeah. All he could do was just get up on that horse and then ride him around the track. He didn't know it. Yeah.
Well, now, what kind of, if you owned a horse, would you want a guy like Pooch on a horse that don't know nothing, And here's a trainer, he don't know nothing. And he got your horse. And now you know what I mean. What kind of chance?
So who knows anything? Your horse ain't got a chance.
What kind of chance your horse got? Yeah, see?
Well, tell me a little bit about some of your exciting times on the racetrack. And what do you think about racing as it was then and racing as it is now? Anything you want to talk about as we close out?
Well, I have been away from the races so long.
You've been away since 86, right?
Yeah, longer than that. Because I worked on the farm. I would still, see, I'm not the type of guy who would go to the races. Only time I go to the races is when I'm not at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was at home, I wouldn't go to the races. See, I'd go somewhere to one of these farms, like Outlaws. See, I work all the time. And but now when I was going to the races, you mean what I think about the race now like they did then?
Yes.
I imagine they couldn't, they can't hardly change it, the race.
Mm-hmm.
Because the horse is going to give you his best. And I don't know how they train it now, but I don't think they could change the training much either. Because he's going to have to go down that oval, otherwise he's got to go down that track. You take him out there, you ain't gonna take him halfway through and bring him back, because that's what he wants to do anyway. So if you do that time to win him, he'll break a run up the track halfway and wheel and come back the other way. So you've got to go all the way around all the time. So I don't think they've done much different in the training. And but the slickers now, that's why I said. There's a lot of guys slick. I could name you a lot of guys with your guys. And trainers, and they done mostly all died out. You take guys like, I know a guy wasn't no slicker than that guy, Jake Glenn, I believe that was his name. I thought he was an awful nice, slick trainer. He didn't look like he done much with a horse. That guy, Tennessee Wright, he had a thing going with his horse, is that he trained him right in the broad open daylight, and he didn't try to sneak the horses by him, but he done one thing that average trainers wouldn't do, and many horses ain't gonna stand it no way, is he let his horses train wide open, galloped them wide open. And
Tennessee Wright, black guy?
Yeah, no, white.
He's a white guy. That's the guy who used to train around Detroit, right?
He
was a leading trainer, wasn't he?
But he went for speed all the time. That's where he trained his horses.
What about these trainers then compared to ones now? Guys like Lucas and...
I don't think they know much about the horse. Lucas looked like me now that since he's been training this old horse, Sebastian Cat, looked like to me that he has learned, he is doing. I know he's learning, but he can look like he knows the horse now.
Right.
Now, that's what he showed to me like...
He's coming.
Looked like me, he done got on to it.
Yeah. Right.
That he knows his horse now.
Right.
And I used to like him on the channel. I know he didn't know
you
nothing.
Changed, yeah. So
you, now he's, like, you take a guy like Ronnie Warren used to be. Remember him?
Yeah, I know him.
I don't think
he used to get up on his horses. Yeah. He's a big guy.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't think he could even push a wheelbar for a horse. You know what I'm talking about? And behind a horse. And them kind of guys, I don't think they're no horse trainers.
You think the trainers were better back in the old days?
I know they were. Oh, yeah, they know the horse. Because they didn't go for no nothing fast. They just went for that.
Were you ever around Ben Jones at all?
Ben Jones, just he's a regular trainer, but he trained good horses.
Good stables, right?
Yeah. See, when you got the best, well, you don't have to be much.
What do you think the future for blacks is in horse racing?
Well, I think...
Is there any future?
No, they're going to have to go a long ways. Because it's going to be, as long as prejudice, this black ain't going to have much shot. No more than they got now. See, it's not a black trainers up around New York, but you don't hear them doing no good. How many of them you know has got a good horse?
I don't know any. Very many.
I don't either.
Yeah. They're getting into owning horses. Some of the stars like Hammer and Barry Gordy and some
but
of those.
But you see, but they go with them other guys.
Yeah, that's right. We don't have too many black trainers.
Because they want their money, you know what I mean?
That's right.
They want to make money. So they ain't gonna throw their money away.
So the you don't see things change too much from the old days to now.
No.
In terms of blacks and horse racing, no. Right? The industry hasn't changed that much.
No.
Yeah. Do you ever see the time when you think that they'll get a union on the racetrack, where people come together and maybe as a group decide this is how much they should pay exercise boys, and this is how much they should pay grooms, and this is how much they should pay hot walkers.
They kind of got that thing going on now. You can't work him cheap. You got to pay him
minimum wage.
Yeah, a minimum wage. And what I was saying about a lot of boy gal horses. But now you see, it's hard to figure that out, because if you take a boy that he ain't got a job, and here's a man ain't got, he got one horse, two horses, maybe three horses, but he ain't got enough to pay a groom and to pay an exercise boy for a salary, both of them, because he ain't gonna get that much out of them horses.
I see. What are some things you might wind up with saying about your some of the exciting things that happened to you on the racetrack, and some of the best horses that you've seen, and any advice you would give to somebody who would be thinking about going into horse racing?